Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We are at on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. That's Daf 23a, right in the middle of the page. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines up from the bottom, right in the middle of the page. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We've been discussing how many aliyot, that is, how many people you call up to the Torah on particular days. The default, based on the Edict of Ezra, is that on Mondays and Thursdays and Shabbat afternoons, we call up 3 aliyot. Any day that has anything special added onto it above a regular weekday gets added an additional aliyah. So, for instance, on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, we read 4. On Yontif, we read 5. On Yom Kippur, we read 6, and finally on Shabbat, we read 7. But the Gemara also wants to connect these numbers to symbolic numbers as well. And so we suggested different 3, 5s, and 7s that we might connect those number of aliyot to. The last one we have to do is 6 for Yom Kippur. So we begin in the middle of the line. Amar le Yaakov Mina. Yaakov Mina said to Rav Yehuda, Hane Shisha de Yom Kippurim kineged mi. These 6 aliyot, these 6 men that we call up to the Torah, who do they correspond to? Amar Leh, he said back to him, kineged shisha she'amdu mimino shel Ezra. They are corresponding to the 6 men who stood to the right of Ezra. Vishisha mismolo, and the 6 that stood to his left. Now it's interesting, because if you add them up, then it would be 12. Maybe she may have 12 aliyot. So, and which is it? Is it the ones on the right or to the left? But maybe it's the fact that there were 6 on each side suggests that the number 6 is important. Shenemar, as it says in Nehemiah chapter 8, Vayamod Ezra HaSofer Amigdal 8, Ezra the scribe stood on a tower of wood, which is kind of like the paradigm of a bima, Asher Asula Devar, that they had made for this purpose, Vayamod Etzlo, and next to him stood Matityam, Vishama, Va'aniya, Va'uria, Va'chilkia, Umasaya. Al Yamino. These 6 men stood on his right side. Umismalo, on his left side, he had Pidaya, Umishael, Umalkia, Va'chashum, Va'chashbadana, Zecharia, and Meshulam. Only problem is if you count those, you'll see that there's 7. Pidaya 1, Mishael 2, Malkiah 3, Chashum 4, Chashbadana 5, Zechariah 6, Meshulam is 7. So the Gemara asks, Haneshiva ha'avu, but these are 7, not 6. So the Gemara answers, Hainu Zechariah, Hainu Meshulam. Zechariah and Meshulam are really the same guy. And it's interesting, as the Marsha points out, that each one of them has an avav. Pidaya u'Mishael, u'Malkiah, v'Chashum, v'Chashbana, but then Zechariah and Meshulam don't have avav. So we argued that really they're the same person. Meshulam is his nickname. Va'amai karu Meshulam. Why do they call him Meshulam? De Mishalem be'ovdei, that he was a very righteous person. He was like Noach, tam b'ma'asav, tamim b'ma'asav. He was perfect in his divine service. So he was a very righteous person. So he was known as Zechariah Meshulam. The only interesting question about this is Ezra HaSofer, who is reading the Torah at this time, and it is about reading the Torah, so that's a good connection, but he's reading the Torah on Rosh Hashanah. That's when this story in Nehemiah Ched is happening on Rosh Hashanah, and we are arguing that we should learn from this that we should have 6 aliyot on Yom Kippur. So you have to sort of argue that maybe it's an inyan in Yemei Hadin, or something like that, except that on Rosh Hashanah we actually only read 5. So that is a reasonable question that needs a good answer. Okay, we continue on. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught. This is an interesting topic that's been discussed on the contemporary scene at great length over the last few years. Hakol olin leminyan shiva. Everyone counts for the 7 aliyot. Va'afilu katan, even a minor. Va'afilu ishan, even a woman. So this source seems to suggest that you can call up both minors and women for aliyot, for the 7 aliyot on a regular Shabbat. But the source continues, Aval amru chachamim, but the rabbi said, Isha lo tikra ba Torah. A woman should not read in the Torah, meaning she should not read publicly for the congregation. Mipnei kavod tzibur, because of the honor of the congregation. There's a lot of discussion about the meaning of these words, and there are a few other places in Shas and in the Tosefta where it mentions them. I'll just mention two particular topics. One is what it means, olin l'minyan shiva. So many of the Rishonim understand it to mean that once you've read the first aliyah, or perhaps, as the Ran says, the first three aliyot, so you fulfilled the basic takana of Ezra, the continuing aliyot, 4, 5, 6, and 7, are not really essential to the Torah reading. They're just, tosefet, if you will. They're added on. And so women could read in for 4, 5, 6, and 7, but they could not read for 1, 2, and 3. All the original sources, the way they read this Gemara, seem to indicate that women could have such an aliyah, and perhaps even the question is, was there a time when women did get aliyot? Or is the second half of the statement trumpet, when it says, but the rabbis say that a woman should not read in the Torah because of the kavod of the tzibur, does that mean that it was always so? That in theory, a woman would be eligible to go up to the Torah, but in practice, because of Kovod HaTzibur, they never did? Or was there a time when women did, and the rabbis came in and later on made a takana that it should no longer happen again? So those are topics that are discussed at great length in a number of contemporary articles. Just mention two other things. One is, according to the Magen Avraham in Or Chaim Reish Pei Bet, this source seems to indicate that women and men have an equal obligation in the Torah, in the reading of the Torah, and the only reason women don't get aliyot is because of kavod tzibur. But as far as obligation, they have the same, and that's why in theory a woman could read from the Torah, as opposed to the Megillah, where we actually in practice have women's Megillah readings, but we do not have women that read for men, because on that situation regarding the reading of the Megillah, many poskim argue that the nature of the obligation is different, that men have one level of obligation of hearing the Megillah, and women have a different obligation, so therefore they cannot read for men. But in this situation, women would have the same obligation to hear the Torah on Shabbat as men did, which would mean, of course, they'd have to go to Shul. But because of Kavod Tzibur, they do not. And the last thing is what Kavod Tzibur is, which is a very hard thing to define, whether or not it's related to tzniut, about having a woman stand in front of the congregation and read from the Torah, or is it a reflection on the fact that women would only be called up to read from the Torah if there were no men who were able to read, and then it would be embarrassing for men. Or perhaps there is a third option, if you compare all of the different ways in which kavod tzibur is used all across Shas for different reasons, and even in our Masechta, perhaps there is another explanation. Many people are asked the question of whether or not kavod tzibur is a subjective aspect, a subjective topic or not. Does it depend on the generation that we're in? Does it depend on the congregation? Could some congregations argue that it is not against the kavod tzibur to have women to read from the Torah, which is what some liberal poskim have tried to argue, and others, including the majority of Orthodox poskim, the vast majority of them, have argued that kavod tzibur is not a removable obstacle to women getting aliyot. Among others, Rabbi Riskin and Rabbi Weider have written articles making this case in a strong way. Okay, the Gemara does not deal with it very much. That's all it has to say about it. What it moves on to is the next topic, which is about maftir. Ibayaluhu, a question was asked of the people in the Beit Midrash. Maftir, the final aliyah, mahu shiyale leminyan shiva. Does it count as one of the seven aliyot? Now, the way we do it in practice in our shuls is we lay in seven aliyot, then we say Kaddish, then we reread the end of Shvi'i and go directly to the reading of the Haftarah. This is not necessarily assumed to be the case in Talmudic times. So that's what they were asking. Should the Maftir, the last aliyah that's read before the Haftorah, be counted as one of the seven or not? Rav Huna of Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. So there was machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. Chara mar Ola. One said it does count as the seven. V'charamar eino ola. One said it doesn't count as the seven. Mandamar ola, the one who says that the maftar should be one of the seven aliyot, is the hakari, because you're reading in the Torah, so it's one of the times that you're reading in the Torah. Umanda amar eino ola, and the one who says that it doesn't count as one of the seven, kidu ula, he goes according to the opinion of ula, de amar ula, mipnei ma hamaftir benavi tzarich sheyikra betorah tchila. What is the reason that the one who goes up for maftir, which is then meaning, by maftir he now means benavi, they're going to read the Haftorah, which is a section from the prophets, that he needs to read from the Torah first, mipnei kavod Torah, it's only because of the honor of the Torah. Now, what this means, as Rashi explains, is that if you were to do seven aliyot of Torah reading and then do a selection from the prophets, it sort of seems to indicate that the Torah and the prophets are on the same level, and we read them both in shul. And that would be against the kavod of the Torah. So even though we've already read our seven aliyot in the Torah, when we come to read from the Haftorah, we preface it with a short reading from the Torah to show that we wouldn't really be reading from the Haftorah if it wasn't for the Torah. And in fact, many people argue that the original source of reading a Haftorah at all in shul had to do with a time, perhaps during the Hanukkah story time, when the Greeks forbade the study of Torah and the reading of the Torah, that they substituted prophetic readings from the prophets, since they weren't allowed to read, it was illegal to read from the Torah. And then when the decree went away, we continued to read from the prophets in shul. It's a good thing to read from the prophets in shul, but that at the end of the day, the idea of reading from the prophets always was subsumed to the idea of the Torah, that then reading of the Nevi'im was less important and was not as big a kavod as the reading of the Torah. So by adding on a short Torah reading, right before you read the Haftorah, you're suggesting that the Torah is more important than the Nevi'im. And that's what it says in the Gemara, V'kevin demishum kavod Torah hu, since you're only reading these couple of verses for the sake of the kavod of the Torah, leminyana lo salik. They don't count as one of the seven aliyot, it's just an extra that's really connected to the Haftorah. In which case, the reading of the maftir, the eighth aliyah, so to speak, is really not part of the Torah reading, it's part of the Haftorah reading. And this explains our custom, as Tosos explains, that after we read the seven aliyot, we say Kaddish. That wasn't true during the time of the Tanaim, it was only true afterwards, that they introduced the saying of the Kaddish after the seven aliyot to separate the end of the Torah reading. And then the maftir, the section that was read before the Haftorah, was said after Kaddish, which also explains why, as we'll see, why we don't read a new section. We repeat the end of Shvi for the Maftir, because the Torah reading is really over. And we've already said Kaddish. The Torah reading is fully over. So we just go back and read a few psukim from the section that we just finished for Kavod Torah, and then we go to the Haftorah. Okay, Meitve, so we'll ask a question about everything that we've just outlined. If it's true that we're only reading the Torah for Kavod Torah, then why is the following true? Hamaftir Banavi, the one who is says the maftir in the prophets, and maftir simply means the very last reading before you're finished, like dessert. Lo yivchot me'esrim ve'echad psukin, he may not read less than 21 psukim in the maftir, keneged shiva shekar batorah, corresponding to the seven aliyot that were read in the Torah. Now here's the Gemara's question. V'im ita, and if it's true that there's really eight readings, because you have the maftir, you have the Torah reading of the maftir, esrim ve'arba'a havyan, then really you should have to read 24 psukim in the Haftorah, because you really have eight times that you read from the Torah, and at three verses apiece, that would equal 24. The Gemara answers, kevan demishum kavu Torah, who, since it is only, you're only reading the eighth aliyah for kavu Torah, and I'm now flipping the page to chaf gimel amud bet, kenegdo nami lobai. We don't have to read a half Torah verses corresponding to it. So that eighth reading is not really one of the seven. That's a proof. Okay, top line of Chaf Gimel Amud Bet, 23b. Matkif la Rava. Rava asked a tough question. Vahare, and do we not have a half Torah? Olotechem safu. So this Haftorah, which is found in the seventh chapter of Yirmiyahu, is the Haftorah for Tzav, the second section in the book of Vayikra. And if you look there in that section, it's a short Haftorah. D'lo havyan esrin v'chad. It does not have 21 verses. In the Karinan, but we still read it as a Haftorah. And you said that the rule is that you have to have 21 verses. In fact, Olotechem Safu has only 19 verses in it. So it's really short. So the Gemara answers, and it's a curious answer. Shaini Hatam is different in that case. Desalik Inyana. Because after 19 verses, it ends the topic. Meaning, that's all there is related to this Haftorah section, the topic at hand that we're trying to read in Tzav, which is about sacrifices. It's finished. So you only need 19 verses. We don't want to read on some unrelated topic, so we stop. The Tosfos had used this argument earlier, and he mentions it here as well. They mention it here as well that the Torah reading for Purim has the same problem. It's the Inyan of Amalek, and usually in a Torah reading we're supposed to have 10 verses minimum, but the reading of Amalek only has 9 verses, and that's all there is related to Amalek. So since there's only 9 verses in it, we only read 9 in that situation. What's strange about it is that if you look up the Haftorah, you'll see that the Haftorah covers part of Yirmiyahu chapter 7. Now, the chapters are not really a Jewish institution, but it covers the second half of the 7th chapter. Then it covers the beginning of the 8th chapter. And then the last two verses come from the middle of the 9th chapter. So this particular Haftorah of 19 verses is kind of skipping all over chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9. It skips some verses in the middle. It sort of seems strange to say to Salik and Yana, they couldn't have found two more verses in there that they could have read. But that is the answer that the Gemara gives. Now the Gemara asks one other question. V'hecha de lo Salik and Yana lo? So are you telling me that you have to read 21 verses unless the topic at hand is shorter than that? I'll give you a counterexample. V'hamar of Shmuel bar Abba, did not Rosh Shmuel bar Abba say, Zimnin Sagin, there were many times, Havaka Amina Kamid Rabbi Yochanan, that I was reading in front of Rabbi Yochanan, V'chi Havaka Rinan Asara Psuke, and after I had read 10 Psukim, here I'm assuming this is related to a Haftorah, I had read 10 Psukim, Amar Lan Ifsiku, he would say to us, stop reading, that's enough, 10 verses is enough. But you said we have to read 21. So the Gemara answers, Makom sheyesh turgeman shiny. If it's a place where there is a translator for the prophetic verses, it's different. Now we know that we've discussed earlier in our recordings that they used to have, and still do in some Yemenite synagogues, that after every verse that's read by the Torah reader, they would have someone read the Aramaic translation out loud as well. But the truth is that in some places they also had the custom to do that for the Navi, for the Haftorah as well. So what he's arguing is that when there is a Turgaman for the Haftorah, when you read 10 verses, that's enough. Why? Because you'll read 10 verses and then 10 translated verses. That equals 20. Some of the poskim argue that you can get to 21 just by reading the last pasuk a second time. So you read 10 pasukim, 10 translations, and then you read the last pasuk one more time equals 21. And this is for Tirchet Tzibura, because if you're just reading 21 verses, you read through them. But if you're reading 10 verses with 10 translations, that already takes a long time. To get all the way up to 21 verses would be a big delay for the congregation. Detane Rav Tachlifa bar Shmuel, we learn had a teaching from Rav Tachlifa, the son of Shmuel. Lo shanu, we did not learn this. Ela b'makom she'in turgaman, except for in a place where there was no turgaman. In other words, we only learned 21 verses when there was no translator. Ava makom sheyesh turgaman, but in a place where there was a translator, posek, you could stop earlier, even after 10 verses. We'll stop there at the Mishnah and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.